And then from John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. It is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him,
Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him,
Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied.
Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus, in the last chapter of the before the one that I read to you, near the end of it, said that to the disciples that he was going away. And he said where he was going, they could not come. And so they were very sad and depressed with that. Their hearts were troubled. And Jesus said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe, or in one translation, you believe, but in this one, believe in God, believe also in me. And he was saying, for troubled hearts, there is a remedy in believing in God the Father, and in believing in Jesus, his Son. A saintly woman from the People's Park Reformed Church in Paterson, who died just a few years ago, said, I don't know how people get along in this life without believing in Jesus. Because it was such a comfort to her to be able to talk with Jesus and be comforted by that talk with him. Such was her belief that quelled the troublesome feelings in her heart. This is Mother's Day, and we welcome all mothers. And at this time, I think of those mothers you see on the television who are crying, grieving, because their children have been taken away from them by violence in Syria and in South Sudan. What horrible suffering is there by mothers and fathers too, when bombs and bullets take away their children. And in this country, when someone like the 12-year-old girl in Patterson is shot as she's riding her scooter and just throws her mother and the rest of the family into great sorrow that will take years to recover from. We cannot give a simple solution to their sorrow. It has to work itself out. Sometimes the best way is just to be silent and be with them. Jesus, however, is preparing his disciples for the sorrow that is to come when he leaves them. And now they're grieving already because he has told them about this. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Put that faith in God the Father and put it in me. And then he gives that wonderful promise, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And in the King James Version, it was mansions. And Garrison Keillor, who some of you may remember as a radio sort of comedian or theologian, said, at one time we were going to get a mansion. And now, this was in the newer translation at that time, it was going to be a room. And now it's a dwelling place. Now, let me clarify it. In the Greek, the word means room or dwelling place. But I think the King James Version was right because Jesus said, he was going to prepare us a place there. And so it wasn't going to be something that you wouldn't appreciate. I remember when I was a child, somebody loaned to our family a book about the Vanderbilt mansions, these great gilded palaces that were so well constructed and were decorated just perfectly, and the gardens were spectacular, and people would come and fill the rooms and they would celebrate. Well, if Jesus is preparing a place for you and me, those Vanderbilts will be flabbergasted when they see what Jesus is preparing for us. Praise be to the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus said, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you to myself. When those disciples died, Jesus came to them and took him. It'll be like when he said to the dying thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And whether he comes to us when we die, or whether he comes to us when the trumpet sounds and he comes to meet us in the air and the dead in Christ arise and we go to meet him, he will bring us to that paradise and that dwelling place that he has for us. What a glorious hope we have in Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know where I'm going, and you know the way." And of course, the disciples said, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus made that marvelous statement, "I am the way." He is the way to where we're all going in him. He is the way, the truth of the gospel, the good news that comes to us. He is that truth, and he is the life. He is the way to everlasting life. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will be raised and have that life." And then Jesus goes on to say that he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. They are different in one respect, that he is the Son and God the Father is the Father. There is a difference, but they are one with the Holy Spirit, ever one God. And he said to the disciples, "When you see me, you see the Father, because the Father is in me, and the words that I speak, the Father gives to me. And so when you hear me speak, you're hearing the Father speak." They are one. The Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. And then goes on, works. Jesus switches it from words to works. The Father works in him. So the works that Jesus did, the Father did in him. And then he gives this amazing promise. "The works that I did, you will do. And even greater works than that, because I am going to the Father." And he's saying, "I'm going to speak to the Father in behalf of you, and you will do these great works." And they did. The early disciples went out, healed the sick, raised the dead, and preached the good news in compassion to the people who were lost. And they came to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. And so far more followers of Jesus came to be because of Jesus speaking to the Father, sending the Holy Spirit, and the disciples preaching the good news. And all those people came to a saving knowledge of Christ. So many, sometimes on one day. So they, in that sense, were doing a greater work than Jesus did while he was on earth, because he only had 12 disciples and other people that were there. But when he went to the Father, he pleaded with the Father, the Holy Spirit was sent, and many more people came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about a woman that I met in a bar. And now you may wonder why I was in the bar. Well, I'll tell you. Dr. Howard Hageman, who was my pastor at the time in the Newark church, said, "You can bear witness to the gospel in a bar, because in a bar, sometimes the people will pour out their hearts to you and tell of their great suffering. And then you can minister to them the good news of Jesus." Well, I went to the bar in my hometown in Wanacue, and I ordered a Coke, which I now would not touch with a 10-foot pole. And I sat next to a woman, and I started talking with her, and I mentioned the good news of Jesus. And she said, "Now, wait a minute." She said, "I read in the scripture that it said, if you pray in the name of Jesus, your prayer will be answered. Well, I did that, and nothing happened. So I don't want anything to do with this." She was a little inebriated, so I didn't get too far in an explanation with that. What is the explanation? Jesus said, "In my name," which means everything that Jesus did is behind this, how he served the Father for his kingdom. And so, in praying in his name means you're not praying for the lottery so that you never have to work another day in your life. It means praying in accordance with the kingdom of God that Jesus worked for all his life. And when we do that with strong faith, then the promise is he will provide the answer to those prayers. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless these people gathered here, especially mothers, but everyone as well, that the words of hope and promise that are in this lesson spoken by Jesus may comfort us and give us great hope. In Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen.